We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, my bookie, we're starting a show, Sam, with an ad read. So, Blue Wire, we're back. So, football season's back. Antonio Brown is on the Raiders, on Sam's Raiders. Very hilarious, all preseason long.
Best wide receiver in the league.
Most funniest at this point. Most funniest. Le'Veon Bell is with the Jets. Odell Beckham is in Cleveland. But the only thing that hasn't changed is where I'm putting money down on all the games. My bookie is the place to bet on football every weekend. Our Blue Wire podcasters are using mybookie.com/Blue Wire to sign up this year. MyBookie has better bonuses and more prop bets than any other sports book, period. This year, they're hosting the first online handicapping super contest. First place is guaranteed to win at least $100,000, and it's only $100 to enter. So all you got to do is pick five NFL games against the spread every week to climb the leaderboard and score your share of the huge cash prize pool. MyBookie has live in-game betting on every NFL game. They've got the most rewarding player perks in the business. And for you fantasy guys out there, we can even bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score each game. So visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code BLUEWIRE. And when creating your account to claim the bonus. So bet, win, and get paid.
Promo code BLUEWIRE. I actually use my bookie more than I should admit on a podcast. but I'm up in the winnings. I'll tell you that right now.
Are you a professional?
No, I'm slightly up. Like I'm like everyone else. You know, I've never lost too much, but I've never really made any substantial money. It's just enough to give me a little bit of a rush when I watch a game.
It's good that you admit that you need a little bit of rush. You know what? You sound like a goddamn addict right now. My buddies only ever tell me when they win. You know, it's like that poker.
I mean,
thing.
Everyone always does. Everyone's picking winners 66% of the time. but you know, if you actually were, you'd be very wealthy and you'd be living off of it.
Yeah, the good stories are the ones that you lose. Like, people enjoy the stories where you get like a bad beat, where you've got like a dumb like 3-game parlay for some reason. Right. You bet the spread on all 3 games or something, and then like some stupid thing happens on the 3rd game and you lose a chance to win like, I don't know, like 100, like, not 100-1. Yeah, something.
Yeah,
crazy.
I was gonna say like 50-1 or something like that. But I have been actually really impressed with my bookie. Anyway, welcome to the Light Years Pod.
Football talk. We did it. Very easy.
Yeah, I'm watching my A's beat up on the Yankees right now.
I'm watching that too.
Do you find it more enjoyable to watch other sports now than the NBA, because we're like so in the weeds with the NBA and it's been just so deep every year that like it's kind of fun to watch other sports from just kind of a casual fan perspective.
Yeah, it's like you don't have – like it's fun. I'm with you because NBA Twitter has made it to a point where it's like I watch the Utah Jazz and all I want to do is make fun of them, or like I watch it for some reason and it's almost like you're trying too hard. You feel like you're doing too much. But or you got to
classic love of the fame.
That is classic love of the fame. But it's like, ooh, how can I analyze this? How can I troll this? But like, you know, you're watching the A's Yankees. I don't care who wins. I don't care what happens. But I think you're right. It's just kind of easy to watch. Even watching the Giants, man, I don't care if they win or lose. I know they're not going to make the playoffs. It's just fun to watch because they're entertaining for once. So
I just think we've watched 500 Warrior games in like 3 years.
Too much.
That it's just kind of like, oh, this is like, there's a different feel to baseball. There's a different feel to football that you're like, it's kind of nice. It's a little, you know, I don't have to get mad at Steve Kerr for
that's it.
Some annoying rotation for the 80th time in the last like 6 months.
The Light Years podcast where we talk about how much we hate watching the Golden State Warriors.
I mean, I just feel like we just summed up that we're kind of in like a miserable long-term relationship with the Warriors at this point. And it's like, well, you're kind of like, you tune in every night. You're not even happy. You're just kind of like,
so what's 3 rings in 5 years? What's each ring mean? Does it mean like it's like getting married? Is the first one like getting married? And then like, is the third one, what's the third one signify? Whew, do we want to go down that route?
Yeah, we're not going down that route. But we took a month off. I think we're both happier people for that.
Yes, we are.
We're going
to
start.
Though I still talk to Sam every day, unfortunately. So if the people think that we didn't talk to each other for a month.
You love it.
Yeah.
What I was going to say is I feel re-energized now. All that joking about not liking the Warriors. The reality is I'm pretty damn hyped for the season. And I'm just starting to get like excited. Like I'll get really excited when we like start hearing camp break. But it was just a long enough break where I'm like, I'm ready for them to come back and have the new chapter begin.
Yeah. I saw a Warriors Reddit, that Twitter account, GSW Reddit, good account. They pretty much just posted a tweet of all the players on the roster. And, I texted
and their numbers.
And their numbers. Yeah. Right. And I texted you and I was like, I'm excited. I'm a little bit nervous. I have a very hot take that I'll go with, you know, in a couple weeks before the season starts that I'll go with. But now it's exciting because it's we don't have to talk about, dude, remember the last couple years where literally every podcast, me and you would just be sighing.
Yeah, it was like Real Housewives after show. it was tiresome. It's like that. It really was like talking about like, cause the games didn't matter. Because they didn't matter till the playoffs. And even then, they didn't matter until like the third round most of the time. And it was just kind of tiresome. Like there was no drama to it.
Yeah. No, it was no drama. It wasn't exciting. They didn't care. We didn't care. But now we've got a team that we don't know what's going to happen. So there's some news that we want to go over, right?
Yeah. So we haven't recorded all month. So we haven't even commented on the Draymond extension.
Mm-hmm.
Are you surprised?
I'm shocked because I thought the reason why he signed with Clutch was because he wanted to extract as much money as possible. We don't know whether he could have gotten 100 more million. He was probably eligible for at least 200, maybe more, depending on if he won defensive player of the year.
He was never getting close to 200.
He was not going to get there, but I would think that somebody would have given him more than $100 million guaranteed. But I think that I didn't expect Draymond Green to not care about that. Maybe not care is a strong word, but I don't really know why he did it. Maybe you can explain to me your thoughts on him. I just don't know why he did it. I love that he did it. He's a Warrior for 4 more years. I love Draymond Green. He's my second favorite player on the
team.
Now
he's a tradable asset.
Let's try. I mean, you're right. I just don't know why he did. I don't understand it. I love that he did. I just don't get why he would lock himself in right now.
So I do get it, but let me walk you through my thoughts before I go there. Mm. So Horford signed for 4 for $106. It was less, but it's $106 if he stays healthy. So he has like some sort of non-guarantees, but essentially he's going to get that. So I figured Draymond would say, okay, Al Horford's 32, 33. He's getting a four-year 106. And we just signed D'Angelo Russell, and he's getting four 117.
Mm-hmm.
And D'Lo's nothing like him, but Horford and him are pretty comparable players, right?
How old is Draymond, though, right? He's 29. He's a little bit younger.
So I was kind of thinking Draymond, the most the Warriors were allowed to offer him this summer was what he signed for. Like, they the cap rules, or that's the early extension max for him. I figured he would have wanted 120, 125. Like, that would have been the settling number, like, more than Horford, more than D'Angelo Russell, who the Warriors just signed. And a really good number for him.
I'm with you so far.
But you know, he ended up signing for the guaranteed 100, and I really think it's about injury risk. I think he legitimately saw KD tear his Achilles, Clay tear his ACL, and Boogie, this was pre-ACL tear, he saw Boogie lose everything, or when he tore his Achilles. And in his mind, he's thinking, okay, if I have that kind of bad injury, am I getting the full max like KD? Or am I going to have to take the $4 to $5 million deal that Boogie took? He did the math pretty quick in his head and decided $100 million is a lot of money. That's my read on it. What I'm surprised with is I think he thought he could have got, like, he could have argued for 140, 150 and like settled at 125. I think he was really realistic with himself about what his market would have been if he was healthy.
So the other part of this is the NBA players now make so much money at such a ridiculous rate that did we literally just watch Kawhi Leonard turn down not one extension with a team that he was on, but two. One with the Spurs, two with the Raptors to sign with the Clippers, right? And it didn't matter to him. Like, I think if you do the math, he quote-unquote lost out on almost $100 million just by going from two teams to the one that he wanted to go to, the Clippers in L.A. I guess that's part of it. Maybe $20 million doesn't matter that Draymond.
Yeah, I mean,
it doesn't matter that much.
And you and I both get, I mean, let's take the NBA cap hats off. 100 mil versus 120 mil. Come on.
Yeah.
Like, is it, especially with the way you can invest your money, like, if you really care about maximizing your dollar, but let's say you don't, like, is it really changing your quality of life?
Yeah. I mean, I think part of the quality of life for him is also basketball on the court stuff. I mean, some of it's off the court where he's in Silicon Valley, but like, does he really want to leave Steph? Right? Does he really want to leave Klay Thompson? I think he understands the legacy is a big part of this too.
Can he make anything off the court if he takes 20? If he takes
with the Magic?
Yeah, exactly. Like more mil a year to be doing local car dealership commercials while they hate you, you know, because you're not the 30 point per game scorer they need.
It's a he would be like a Draymond Green version when he would be like the Andre Iguodala version when he was with the Sixers, right? People just kind of don't get it. And if you don't win big, then people really don't get it. I guess I see where it's coming from. It is a smart move. He gets his money. I just kind of expected him to get a little more, because keep in mind, he did take a small pay cut on the first extension, and he didn't really get the full max there either.
Pay cut. That's the biggest lie. I'm going to dispute this one right now. He took a pay cut, but no one was offering him more. So he didn't take a pay cut. Like, your market is what your market is. Like, Kawhi took a pay cut. Kawhi could have. No, he couldn't have. He didn't have other offers. He's like, there's no report out there that suggests someone was willing to pay him more money than he took with the Warriors.
Oh, he didn't want to negotiate it's like Andre Iguodala. He didn't want to negotiate
Andre actually had bigger offers. Draymond,
well, that's what I'm saying.
Draymond
he didn't want to
up,
do it.
Draymond blew up the year after his extension. He was pretty good, and he got that
big. He could have got more money than he did.
No, he couldn't have.
He could have got more
he
money than
he could not have.
He could have got more money than he did. There was a report that came out that he was going to meet other teams. Literally the day after that report came out, he signed with the Warriors again for, I think, less than what he could have gotten. I just don't think that Draymond Green really wants to leave the Warriors. I think Andre Iguodala is probably a smarter negotiator and went out there and got offers. Draymond Green probably could have did that. I don't think he wanted to.
See, this is where I disagree with you. To me, it's a little ominous. I think Draymond's legitimately worried about his health. Like what I really appreciate about it is the self-awareness to understand he's a 6'6 power forward who's been banged up the last 2 years. We can look at it the positive way. He's primed for a big year this year, statistically. And if he stays, if it happens, he's going to see some huge offers, right? But
that's a bad call. Yeah.
But but you're watching this.
That was a terrible strikeout call. Okay.
Sorry.
Terrible.
We got a comment on it. Anyway, but I was going to say, but Draymond is, I really think it's about health. He's thinking about it as like, what if I have any issue? I'm going to lose out on, he knows he's not the kind of guy that teams are going to give money to if he gets hurt.
But think about what Draymond is on the court and how he talks and how he acts, right? That's not really the vibe that I get from him. And maybe that is who he is as a person. By the way, we've gone way too long on this. I love it, but we got to move on. But I think the final piece I'd say is just watching Draymond as a person, the way he plays, the way he talks, I think his mindset to me always felt like, hey, I'm going to bet on myself.
Right.
And I'm going to go out here and I'm going to get that as much money as I can. But also Draymond's super smart off the court. And I think you're right.
I think that's where we agree. It's surprising, but it does show this, like it was the right self-aware move.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. And either way, he gets $100 million. Good for him. And he's in Space Jam too. So, he's going to get paid a lot of money.
Speaking of someone else in Space Jam too, hashtag transition. Klay Thompson did say about D'Angelo Russell, I think it's a little premature saying there's no more dynasty. I mean, we still have Stephen Curry, two-time MVP, Draymond Green, a defensive player of the year, and I think D'Angelo Russell was an incredible get for us. I mean, the kid's going to blossom into a superstar in this league. Piggybacking that, Steph, kind of in a similar interview last week, just kind of went off about how excited he is to play with D'Angelo Russell. Are you surprised these guys are like pretty hyped to play with? Because D'Lo's game's a little different than theirs. He's obviously talented, but are you surprised how excited they are to play with him?
I think they're more excited to not play with Kevin Durant.
Look at that. Love the fam again.
I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised because it does feel, I mean, we started this freaking podcast by saying, hey, the last few years have been a drag, right? It's been 5 years of this. The first couple were great, but it's just not exciting. I think the players feel the same way. I think it's not so much D'Angelo Russell himself. It's more so just getting someone in here that's had some talent. Like, let's say, for example, if the Warriors traded for our favorite player, Devin Booker. Like, I bet you they'd be excited to play with Devin Booker, just as excited as they are to play with D'Angelo. So I don't think it's really D'Lo. I think it's more about having someone.
You're saying they like D'Lo, but like they like a lot of players. It's just that it's a young talent coming in.
Yeah, exactly. And it's new, and it makes it fun. And I mean, part of it is he might really help him. I think you're higher on D'Lo than I am for this team, but I think he might really help him. And they're like, let's say they ran it back. The other option was running back with Iguodala, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and signing like Austin Rivers or something, right? Which is what we were expecting. I mean, that's kind of boring. And I think this is kind of new and it's exciting. And I think it's less about Russell being here. I mean, less about D'Angelo Russell and more about him being a player that's here. That's
talented. Because he's not a rookie. He's proven enough in this league. Like, they know who he is. They don't know who Jordan Poole is, for example.
Oh boy. Oh boy.
And it's nothing against Jordan Poole, but he's just a rookie. He wasn't like a highly drafted rookie. It's not like he's Zion or anything. And it's just kind of, so they lost KD and it's a new chapter, but they got this 23-year-old that everyone kind of agrees is pretty talented. You know, people kind of argue about how talented they think he is, but everyone agrees he's talented, right?
Yeah, 23.
I think that's kind of, I think they're kind of excited to have another, to kind of be the old guys on the team now, like to have new, like this is going to re-energize them a little bit. Like they're going to the next chapter. And then there's the third part. I mean, D'Lo does have the skill set to fit in with them offensively. Whether he does and whether the defense is good enough, we'll see. right?
Yeah.
But it's not like he's a, let me put it this way. It's not like it's a dude where you're like, this can't work because he can't shoot and he just like hogs the ball. And you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think.
Because I think players look at it more from the skill set standpoint, like what he can do, thinking they can figure it out until they realize they can't.
I think even part of the interview was, I think D'Lo was saying like, hey, I'm not, I think he was a little bit hesitant on the defensive part as well. But you look at this roster, I'm looking at this roster and it's like, they're not built to play defense. They're really not, regardless of if D'Angelo Russell was a lockdown player or not. It doesn't matter. This roster cannot.
Well, if D'Lo was a defender, they'd be set to have a good defensive lineup, but,
Not from a roster perspective, not maybe in crunch time, but
okay, fair enough.
Because Clay's out, right? Because Clay's out too.
Yeah, no, you're right. Right. I mean, right. They don't have like eight defenders; they have like four to five.
Who do they have? Who do they have that can defend? They have
Looney,
Draymond,
obviously. Clay.
Yeah.
Jacob Evans.
Oh boy.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. It's gonna like. I actually think they'll probably play better team defense than they did this year because it's a lot of guys who need to try and play as a team as opposed to guys who are, man, I'll turn it on in the last 5 minutes and we'll win. You know? I mean, like, we just watched Pop coach a team with DeRozan and LaMarcus Aldridge play competent. You can get pretty far with a team scheme. Portland and Denver, I think, have terrible defenders all over their roster, and they were good regular season defensive team.
Okay, so team scheme, you just mentioned that. I think there's a Kerr quote in there somewhere about D'Angelo Russell where he's essentially I don't know if you believe it or not, but he's shifting part of his offense in the pick and roll to fit D'Angelo and Willie Cauley-Stein. True or false?
I think it's true. I kind of actually agree with Kerr on this. It didn't make sense to run a ton of pick and roll with Iguodala and Livingston and Draymond. Because all those players' best skill in offense is their passing and their IQ. They're not spot-up threats. You know what I mean? And you can say maybe he should be more concerned with his stars than his sixth and seventh and eighth man, you know? But that's not how Kerr's wired. I think now they're a little more... I mean, he just doesn't have the options. He's going to be forced to play more straightforward.
I'm fascinated to see what Steve Kerr is going to do this season. Because, yeah, the last time that we were uncertain about Steve Kerr, he came in and he absolutely changed the way that the Warriors played and they won a championship. And it was incredible, right? We had no idea what was going to happen. And he installed an offense that took advantage of what the Warriors did and a defense that really changed basketball. From that perspective, positionless basketball. So, yeah, that's the last time that we were uncertain about Steve Kerr. Since then, it's kind of been coasting for him. He's just managing Eagles and less taking care of the scheme on offense and defense. So for the first time in 5 years, he's actually – I don't know. I hate to say this, but he's actually out here. He's actually got to figure out how to coach up the players, right? He's got to figure out, like, hey, how do we actually get Jacob Evans in the right spot instead of, hey, let's throw Livingston out there. He's smart enough. He'll figure this shit out. Right, like he'll know what to do. Jacob Evans has no idea what the fuck he's doing on the court. Right, so same with Jordan Poole, same with D'Angelo to an extent. And so I'm fascinated to see what Steve Kerr does. Yeah, I mean, if he does end up running pick and roll, and that does make the Warriors' offense unstoppable, like shit. Like this guy really is the best coach in the NBA, or like a top two, top three.
Man, we've gone too deep for a late August, mid to late August pod. So. We do have voicemails coming up, and I'm excited to hear what kind of questions you guys are going to catch us with.
Yeah. But before we do that, Sam, you know who's bad at taking care of the health?
Who's that?
Guys are terrible at taking care of the health. All right, ad read number two. The people are excited about this one. Whether it's a knee injury, bad back, or something worse, guys are usually more comfortable rubbing some dirt on it than seeing a doctor. The same is true.
I mean, I can speak for that. I let my back go until it went out.
Yeah, you were asking me how to stretch your back out, and I was like, go hamstring, Sam. But tell me, Sam, is this the same for you for erectile dysfunction? No comment. Studies show 70% of guys who experience ED don't get treated for it. That's crazy. Thankfully, Roman created an easy way to chat with a doctor online. So basically, you don't have to show your face. With Roman, you can get medical care for ED, if appropriate, from the comfort and privacy of your own home. You can handle everything online in a convenient, discreet manner. Getting started is simple. Go to GetRoman.com/BlueWire. So same thing as my bookie, Blue Wire. And complete an online visit. If your doctor decides that treatment would be appropriate, they can prescribe genuine medication that can be delivered in discreet packaging right to your door with free 2-day shipping. That's Romans. So guys, go talk to your doctor. Erectile dysfunction can be tough to tackle, but it's really important to get checked out. With Roman, it's easy to connect with any doctor that you want. Call to action. I guess I don't need to read that, but go to GetRoman.com/BlueWire.
Yeah, that does really sound like the best way to deal with it. You don't have to deal with the awkward doctor visit. Just log online. No one's going to know. Why am I talking about this on a podcast?
And they send it to you in discreet package. I'm not really sure what discreet means, but I love it. Roman.com/BlueWire. So they give you a free online visit and they do free 2-day shipping. That's GetRoman.com/BlueWire for a free visit to get started. GetRoman.com/BlueWire.
Okay, Andy, producer Ben got us a landline for some voicemails. And some people want to ask us, if certain things going on in the summer are love of the fame or love of the game. Andy, can you explain to the listeners who haven't heard what love of the game or love of the fame is?
Love of the game versus love of the fame. Yes. So I gave this example on the last podcast. So I gotta find a new example, but we had one earlier in this podcast for me. Love of the game versus love of the fame. If I'm watching a basketball game, and let's say I'm watching the Nets versus the Magic, I'm watching that in like a Thursday night at like 5 o'clock. I'm watching that game just to troll Kevin Durant because I know that's what the timeline wants. That's love of the fame. That's not loving basketball because I love watching basketball. That's loving to watch basketball so that I can get 500 likes on a tweet about Kevin Durant. Love of the fame. So,
you admit it. All right, let's listen to the first voicemail then.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Domin Rangula. So at this point, it's pretty clear that Andy Liu is primarily responsible for ending the dynasty. The Steph Better hashtag poisoned the locker room. Sources, and this is unverified, but sources have told me that Draymond actually said Steph Better to Kevin Durant multiple times during that early season dust up against the Clippers, and it leads me to a simple question. Did Andy do this to preserve the integrity and competitive balance of the NBA, or did he do it to make a name for himself? Put it another way, did Andy Liu act out of love for the game or for love for the fame?
I did not know that question was coming. I did not know.
Oh my God. So I feel like I have to answer this. It was love of the fame. Andy absolutely knew he was ruining the dynasty, but he saw his Twitter follows going up. He was chasing the clout. He's like LeBron out here with Taco Tuesday. Andy was looking for reasons to get social media famous. It was love of the fame.
I will say this. I didn't see this coming, but when it did happen, I thought it was pretty fucking funny. I didn't feel bad. I try not to egg it on as much as I do, but yeah, I mean, come on, man, it is pretty funny to have all of this go on. And I guarantee you this, Kevin Durant knows about it, and he's not happy about it. That at least a small segment of online people on Twitter think that I had something to do with him leaving the Warriors. Classic Kevin Durant. He is online too much, just like the rest of us. So, love of the fame.
So what we can say is the Cleveland Cavaliers couldn't beat the Warriors. LeBron James couldn't beat the Warriors. No one could beat the Warriors healthy except for Andy Liu.
That's love of the game. Love of the game.
No. All right, we're going to go to the next one.
So Sam and Andy, I want to know, love of the game or love of the fame? Bronny Jr. hitting a trick shot from the bench and yelling the name of the guy who he knows is the best player of the league.
Ooh.
Wow.
That's a good one. I got to think about this one for a second. So for those who don't know, Bronny Jr., when his dad wasn't busy taking all the camera attention and dunking in the middle of his games, which is love of the fame, by the way, hit a three from a seat on the bench and yelled Steph. Is that love of the game or love of the fame?
Wow. By the way, for those listening, we didn't hear these voicemails before, so we were not prepared. But yeah, man. So my question would be, why would it be love of the fame? Right? Why would it be love of the fame? Because
was he trying to go viral? Because it's very clear that, you know,
his dad doesn't like Steph Curry.
Bron's kid yelling Steph is going to go viral. Or is it love of the game because he's paying homage to the GOAT?
I'll say this. So how old is Bronny? Like 14, whatever.
He's in high school.
He's young. So I think with someone like LeBron, someone like Devin Booker, someone like Karl Anthony Towns, whoever, some of these older players that are all in love with the fame, all stars, Hall of Famers, they know what they're doing. They know what they're doing. They know that they're trying to get clout, that they're trying to get social media likes. I think Bronny is still a little bit too young to be as aware of that as he should be. And I think that emotion that he showed after he shot that shot was genuine. It was like, it was truly like, hey, I watched Steph Curry do this. He's the best shooter of all time. It's like me shooting a rolled up tissue paper in the trash can as a kid and yelling out Kobe. It was genuine. I was just like, hey, Kobe, that's the best shooter in the game or the best scorer in the game. That's what I said. And I think that's how Bronny felt. You know what that means? It's love of the game.
I'm going to go love of the fame. I think in general, you're right, but he's aware when the cameras are on. I think he's too in the public eye to not know. I think he was trolling. I think he was trolling his dad. And for that, I'm calling a little love of the fame, but in a good way. Gotta respect it.
Ooh, I love that. I love that he was trolling his dad. Wow, well done. We're getting better at this.
All right, let's pull up the next one.
What's up, Sam and Andy? This is Nick from Richmond, Virginia, calling in. Antonio Brown has had this wild helmet crisis. If you're a Raiders fan, it's a crisis, so to speak. And in the midst of what's being described as a landmark case of love of the fame versus love of the game, where do we stand on this huge issue in the matter? Thanks.
Easy. You want to go first?
I'm going to let you go.
Oh, this is the easiest one. Antonio Brown, who made the epitome of a wide receiver diva in the NFL. The epitome. He is Terrell Owens on steroids. Well, maybe not. But he's right there with them, with the greats. Left the Pittsburgh Steelers for whatever reason. Le'Veon Bell, just like the same thing. He comes over here. The Raiders go on Hard Knocks, Sam. They're on Hard Knocks.
I'm so excited to watch that later tonight.
Right, they're on after we record, recording at 9 p.m. They're on national television. And, of course, the guy who's the best receiver in the NFL thinks he's the best receiver in the world, probably knows he's the best receiver in the NFL. Of course he wants to put on a show. Of course. Not only is in the headlines, he is in the headlines constantly about some shit that doesn't – I mean, Sam, by all means, like, the helmet matters, blah, blah, blah. But – every other player in the league has had
the dramatic helmets.
He's not the only one.
So it's not about the helmet thing, which I can respect. It's about the dramatic nature in which you're doing it. It's some like fit in, fit out.
I'm going to retire.
Yeah.
Did you do a LeBron dig there? Oh,
yes.
God. Oh, please go ahead. This is beautiful.
It's I can't dispute this one. This is love of the fame. The only thing I'll dispute is I don't even think he's a diva as much as, like, I think he's just off the reservation. Like,
you diva, think he's a little nuts.
Diva, Like, here's what I was expecting. I was expecting him to inevitably get annoyed with Gruden or Carr, probably both, around week four. You know, once he starts seeing that it's not that good a team and, you know, he's not getting the ball as much as he used to in Pittsburgh because they can't get him the ball as much, however you want to say it. The Raiders haven't even done anything. Like, you can understand him being frustrated because Derek Carr throws 30 checkdown passes and doesn't throw it to him. Like, I think that's what we all expected, right? This is just like, no one even did anything. He's just kind of...
he's just going off.
Yeah, it's...
talking about he's going to retire.
Yeah, and it's... he did deliver me a fantasy title 2 years ago, so I'm always going to be an Antonio Brown fan. But, I don't know, man.
You're saying he's a little crazy. Did you hear that story about like he fired his chef or something because they like put a salmon head in the fridge and he thought that it was a threat, so he fired him?
Yeah,
like,
I did.
The guy, it might be a little crazy.
It's a little nuts, a little wild. Super talented though. I mean, the crazier you are, the more talented you are, the more difficult you can be. It's objectively true in every industry.
Yeah, it's like a Silicon Valley CEO. You know, so
yeah. Are you calling him Gavin Belsom?
I was gonna just shout out Kevin Jones, shout out Blue Wire. We're doing big things, you know. So you know, we'll do that. That's enough. That's enough of my KJ shout out.
All right, we'll get to the next one.
Hey guys, it's Joey. I just want to say, Sam, love you, bro. You are just so intelligent, so funny. But my guy Andy Lou is the GOAT. The way you build up stats, man, you fight for them when nobody does. And as a big Warriors fan in LA, surrounded by the love draw and the worship, I just want to say I super appreciate it. And now for my question. My question is, am I really the only person who thinks that the Warriors can seriously make a title run and should be considered just as much of a favorite as the Lakers? If we get Clay back healthy by the playoffs, I think that we have just as much of a right as any team except maybe the Clippers and the Bucks and maybe the Sixers to say we are the best team in the league. We have Steph, who's arguably the best player in the league. We have Klay Thompson, if he's 100% by the playoffs, just one of the best players in the league. And we got Draymond. We got the core. We have some nice veterans. I hate the fact that some people are saying we should retool for next year. I say go for the championship. All right, love you guys.
Oh, it was like a mailbag question.
Yeah, not love of the fame or love of the game, but we can take it.
Yeah, you want to take it first? I got some thoughts. One's good.
I guess so. I do think they're sneaky good, but it really depends on Clay. And I'm just going to take the cautious, lame approach, which is I don't think Clay will be 100% Clay this year, and so I think they'll be sneaky in the playoffs, but the following year, I'm all in on it being a real thing.
Yeah, following year, though, it's also uncertain because D'Angelo Russell might not be on the team the following year. So we don't know. By the way, a lot of Robert Covington talk. Fuck Robert Covington. I don't want to trade D'Angelo Russell for Robert Covington. Kill me, Sam. What the hell is that?
I like Robert Covington. But yes, I would be let me put it this way. I like him as a player. He's objectively a good player, contributes to winning.
Yeah.
I want a better return for D'Angelo Russell than that.
Please. Please. Yeah.
Like, I want, like, three Robert Covingtons or one, like, star potential player.
The Warriors get three Robert Covingtons for D'Lo. They're winning championship this season, I think, is what
I
go
think
with.
There's a single team with three Robert Covingtons. So,
well, the Warriors did last year, you know, so those,
correct.
So, you know.
Correct.
So, yeah, to answer the question, by the way, dude, call me the GOAT. You hear that, Sam? See? The people love me. Some people don't think I ruined the dynasty.
But we call me smarter, which is ultimately all that matters to me.
Yeah, he did. I get the love. I'll take that. I think that there's a lot more uncertainty for other teams than people are admitting. I think that people kind of assume that the Clippers are overwhelming favorites. I don't know if that's
Paul
true.
George did have surgery on both shoulders.
Yes. Kawhi Leonard was limping up and down the floor in the NBA Finals. People say that Steph Curry can't stay healthy. Steph Curry was healthier in the Finals than Kawhi Leonard, who could almost barely move.
And he's had a much healthier career.
Yeah. Yep. So I don't know how great they can be or how great they are or will be. They can be great. The Bucks, I don't know. They lost players, and they weren't. They were maybe a little bit overrated and maybe kind of regular season team to begin with. The Lakers, they have AD and they have LeBron. And who else do they have, right? Like, what are we talking about there with Kyle Kuzma, who's a bit of a joke and plays no defense and can't shoot? So I just don't – and then you've got the Utah Jazz, and you've got these teams that are really cute, but they've really not done anything outside of, you know, Twitter likes them. So I don't know just how great the other teams are. I think that's the best argument. Because from a Warriors perspective, I think I'm pretty low on them. I do think that they got a team that plays no defense, and they've got Klay that's out for almost the whole season. I don't see, even if they make the playoffs, how they can put it all together that quickly with a team like this. Like, am I really expecting Willie Cauley-Stein to play 25 minutes a game? And for this team
Looney.
Yeah.
Let's transition here real quick.
Yeah, yeah.
Is Looney going to average 15 and 10?
I don't think he's going to play enough minutes to average 15 and 10.
How about 30 and 15?
You're high on Looney.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. I just can't see him playing the minutes to have like big box score nights. Like, he'll have like he will have a random 25 point night this year, and it'll be pretty cool.
Oh, that'll be great. Yeah.
But I don't see, you know, Looney getting the, 18 and 11 type of.
Yeah, I mean, he can if his body and his hips can hold up to play 32 minutes a game. But it's like, if that happens, like, he's going to have an injury, right? You would think, but maybe we're wrong, right? Maybe we're wrong. If he can play 30 plus minutes and average like 15 and 11, the dude's going to get paid on his next contract. Because isn't Looney still only like 24? Is he still pretty young? So, yeah, so. I don't know. I think you're higher than the Warriors than me. But I am low on the rest of the league. I just don't know who's good or not. I really don't.
It's fascinating.
Yep.
All right, let's get to the last one.
Do we have one more? Okay.
We do have one more.
So obviously Devin Booker protesting the double team in that pickup game, I feel like, is a good candidate. Part of me thinks it's for the love of the fame, but at the same time, that's like negative press. Like, I feel like he wouldn't want this out about him. So then I would say love of the game, but then that goes directly against love of the game. Like, I feel like if it was love of the game, he would welcome the double team. But Booker himself appears to think that it's for the love of the game, because he actually wants to, quote, work on his game in this pickup. So, I don't know. It's an interesting debate, in my opinion.
Oh, boy. Wow. She worked through that one in her head. That was incredible.
Yeah, I feel like she did half our work for us. But let's get into it. So Devin Booker, for those who didn't see, and I would be really surprised if anyone listening to this pod didn't see it, got double teamed in a pickup game and then yelled at everyone, "Hey man, trying to work on my game. No double teams. I get enough of that in the regular season." And this is the prime love of the fame game question. Shout out Joakim Noah.
Yes.
Who was in that game, and the stare he gave was just like, it's, you know, I want the Warriors to consider cutting D'Lo and eating his $117 million contract so we can sign him right now.
That's incredible. It is funny because you think about it from a Devin Booker perspective. In his head, he thinks it's love of the game. And we all know what this is. My question, though, I was thinking about it earlier. My question is, if you are a Suns fan, how do you feel about this? How do you feel about your franchise player essentially copping out of playing against a double team in rec ball? Now, this is not a double team that is coming from two lockdown NBA players. This is not Andre Iguodala and Klay Thompson doubling you. This is two scrubs in rec league compared to you, an all-star. Maybe he's not an all-star. Whatever it is. How do you feel about that? Because he's whining in an off-season pickup game.
If I'm a Suns fan, I'm just completely trying to justify it and saying anyone who doubles in pickup is the police. You know, like it's not acceptable. Like, who does that, right? But let's be real about this. This is exactly why the Suns will suck next year.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think Devin Booker just sealed his spot on my all clout chaser starting five. Because it's very clear he just wanted the highlight reel so he could get his IG video out to show how good he is. Instead of actually working on his game, instead of actually working on things that he needs to get better at to be effective and help his team win. And he's already a really good player, but like everyone in the NBA is a really good player.
If that's the guy that's leading my team, I don't want any part of that. I don't care how talented
you are. Would Steph Curry ever do that? Not even on camera, in private.
Yeah. Yeah. It's embarrassing. It's really embarrassing. And he came out and tweeted about it the day after, and he kind of made light of a joke of it. But I think we saw the person that he is in the moment, and he couldn't handle a double team and pick up, man. Like that's got to be the saddest shit that from a professional basketball player. Where it's, and I tweeted this, Sam, after, and I was like, if you're working on your game and you're saying that you only see double teams in the regular season, should you not be then working on your game against double teams and pickup? Wouldn't that be about the same idea? But I guess that didn't register, because love of the fame is the ability to score 50 points in pickup and showing that you can do a lot of contestants.
Score 70 and lose by 20.
Love of the fucking fame.
Oh. Fame all-star. Actually, now I got to ask you, before we get out of here, we need to crown the all clout chaser starting five.
Ooh, actually, you know what? Before we get to that, let me get one more read. And then you'll give the five, and then I'll riff off of that. So here we go. If shaving is a terrible experience for you, we've got you covered at Blue Wire. Our podcast network is teaming up with Harry's to make sure our listeners are shaving comfortably. Go to harrys.com/bluewire to save $10 on a value trial set, which includes 5-blade razor with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel, travel blade cover. You get all of that for just $3 shipped right to your door. Enough with the low quality razors from convenience stores. It's totally worth trying Harry's. Sign up today. Harry's has fixed shaving by combining a simple, clean design with quality and durable blades at a fair price. So Harry's founders were tired of paying for razors that were overpriced and overdesigned. Harry's bought a world-class blade factory in Germany that's been making quality blades for over 95 years. Join the 10 mil who have tried Harry's. Claim your offer by going to harrys.com/bluewire. All of Harry's blades come with 100% quality guarantee. If you don't love your shave, let them know and they'll give you a full refund. Again, make sure you go to harrys.com/bluewire to redeem your razor for $3. All right.
The all clout chaser starting five. So let's define it first.
I'm so excited.
What? How are we defining this? This is people who do it for the gram.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So
these are love of the fame all stars.
Love of the fame all stars. Love of the fame legends. I think of it this way: people who understand how social media work and gears their entire life for that, right? And gears, for example, it's like an IG model, right? And she's just. By the way, I gotta stay off IG, man. Like, this shit is getting ridiculous. This shit is just getting ridiculous. But anyway, this is like an IG model who goes to Vegas, right, and posts a picture of herself at a bottle service table. But you kind of look behind the scenes and you see that she's like there at the club at like 12 o'clock. And she got in for free just to take those pictures there. It's not because she's actually there on time. So essentially, she's just chasing clout by posting a picture there so that people will like it. Sam, I think I've gone too deep.
Yeah.
Did you like the analogy? Did you like that?
I mean, it's a perfect analogy. It's what I think of every time I see it. So with further ado, let's go. So
Sam's
we're putting Devin Booker on this team for sure.
I got a couple names.
Is that a lock?
Yes. Devin Booker's a lock. He's always been a lock.
Yeah.
But he sealed it.
He let the world know he's a lock.
Yeah. Yeah.
Obviously LeBron James.
Yes.
He's
not even close.
He's the love of the game. He's the love of the fame goat.
Yeah.
He's chasing that ghost in Chicago. Well, he hasn't beat it something.
Well done. Yeah, no, LeBron's a legend. He is a clout chasing legend. I think everything he does at this point, LeBron was one of my favorite
premeditated.
Yeah. He was a top three player to watch for me. And somewhere along the way, the stuff that he says, the stuff that he does off the court has made him almost unwatchable. And that's because he's a clout chasing.
You're just
all-star.
Bitter about 2016. 3-1, 3-1. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So those two are locks. We got Booker. We got LeBron. Who else are you thinking? Do you have any other thoughts?
Because I mean, Kuzma's a lock for me.
Why? So let's explain Kuzma, what he's done lately.
The Kuzma summer tour, where like all of a sudden everyone's decided the Lakers are a super team, but they'll be no help if they aren't amazing. Kuzma's just everywhere, and like I've just never seen a player who. It's not that he's bad. It's just not that he's he's just kind of a dude, right?
Getting
a lot of. A lot of fame. And we can chase it back to him tweeting karma on the Warriors. That's like, what is this? But anyway.
No, I'm with you. And I think didn't he have a few comments or a few tweets that was saying like you got to know what it takes to be a Laker or something like that. It's like, shut up.
Yeah.
Not everyone's
built to be a Laker. I'm like,
what the fuck does that even like first?
Not
first
everyone's off, built to win 35 games and like kind of check out and just go to really nice clubs every night. Like I think everyone's built for that.
Yeah, I was going to say that. That sounds pretty cool. People are built for that. Yeah. And also, LeBron would trade his ass in 2 seconds if it meant getting like, I don't know, like Andre Iguodala, right? Coming back, like, come on, like let's be real here. Yeah, cloud chasing all star. What do you think about this one, Sam? What do you think about Damian Lillard?
No. He might be an honorable mention. I don't even think he makes the second team for me.
Honorable mention, so he's third team for you. He gets a few votes.
Yeah, just like in all NBA, he's gonna be upset about it.
Yeah, so for me, here's my case for Dame Lillard. He's a sneaky cloud chaser, I think, in my opinion, because I think the stuff that he says
underrated.
I think he's an underrated cloud chaser. So he said a few things through the years. You just mentioned it kind of as well. Where it's like, oh, I want to be all NBA, deserve to be all NBA, blah, 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 all star, right? I'm underrated, blah, blah, blah. This, it's like, first of all, like, worry about winning games first because you guys aren't ever that good. All you do is get spanked by the Warriors. And then outside of that, he's also said, hey, I want to win my own way, right? I don't want to join a super team. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. And he's always saying this stuff that makes it seem like, this is part of who he is. He's a tough guy.
He's playing up love of the game. So yeah. He's hiding love of the fame by playing up love of the game.
Dude, that's perfect.
Is that what was going on?
I think that's exactly what it is. I think he understands social media today where people care if you win championships, but they don't care that much anymore. Or at least that's what a certain amount of people online say. And he's going with that and saying, like, it's almost Russell Westbrook-like, by the way, another clout chaser. And he's kind of going with it and saying, you know what? I'm going to do what I do. And he's acting like that's love of the game when, in fact, he just wants to get more love by people and he wants to get voted on in first team. So guess what? You are first team, Dame, and your rap album, who he drops like every offseason. Here you go. First team all cloud chaser. He's on mine. Enjoy it.
What do you say to Ben Simmons?
Ooh, I want to hear the case.
Hard. It's hard to verbalize because it's just a feel thing.
It doesn't seem like he talks much. That's my thing. That's my only
okay,
observation.
So I'll keep him off. I just have a Love of the Fame feel for him.
Ooh, I know you have reasons why. Come on.
No, I don't know. Just can't work on his jump shot. Just got to post IG videos of him dunking on people with captions like Simmons taking the game to the next level. I'm like, no, this is what he did last year. This is the exact same thing. Nothing's changing. He's just doing it on, like, you know, G League players instead of NBA players.
Yeah, it is funny how every offseason the same Ben Simmons video comes out. And I think he's content being who he is. And I think Joel Embiid is probably not going to be content with that at some point in the future. What do you think about Carmelo?
The summer MVP every summer?
Every summer.
Seriously, Olympic Melo is eternal. You know, just because in the regular season we don't talk about Melo, but from June to September, all Melo.
The guy is. I think he's a cloud chaser from the very beginning. Melo seems like a great guy. That's what people always say, but I've always felt that way about him because, I mean, a couple things, right? And it kind of directs back to Draymond as well. Is the guy has always wanted the money first, and that's all he's ever wanted.
I don't think it's the money. I think it's exactly what money ties in. But what Chauncey Billups says, he'd be more upset if he scored 20 and they won than if he scored 35 and they lost.
Ooh,
and that's classic Love of the Fame.
Oh, classic cloud chasing. Yeah, absolutely.
Like it doesn't matter if they. You know, if he played well but they lost, he's in a good mood. That's Love of the Fame right there.
Yep. Melo. He's on the team even though Melo's not in the NBA, but he's on a team. He found a team. He found a home.
We found a home for Melo.
Yeah, he found a home. All right. What else do we got? Do we have a few other ones? Kyrie, you want to throw Kyrie in there? I don't know. I don't know if he should be on there.
I mean, if Kyrie's Love of the Fame, he's doing it wrong. So I don't think it's him.
All right. Well, we will feel free, people. We'll leave the voicemail. I think we're gonna keep the segment. People can tweet it in Lightyear's podcast. Tweet over their Love of the Fame, love of the game questions, or send a voicemail. And let us know. But man. Are we done, Sam? Are we good? Anything else?
We're done. We came into this saying it's going to be a short 30-minute pod, and we're in an hour.
That's what we always do. Well, we'll be back at some point when Sam makes me come back. So,
all right, man.